It started in a creepy old castle one dark and stormy night. Reed Hastings and Mark Randolph had stumbled upon an old dumpster full of weird and wonderful treasures that had been wastefully thrown away by film studios and television networks all over the world. To most people in the entertainment business, these were just old spare parts, unwanted reruns of little value. But Hastings and Randolph saw something else in TV's discarded oddities, and with a bit of glue and tape, they created a whole new monster.
It's alive. It's moving. It's alive. Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Since Netflix established itself as a serious player in the media world, traditional television networks have watched the company build itself upon their old content and then cannibalize their viewing figures. The precise effect of online streaming on traditional television is hard to measure, largely because Netflix and Amazon keep their viewing figures top secret. Analyst Michael Nathanson from Moffitt Nathanson LLC says Netflix alone represents about 6% of all television viewing in the United States, and, more alarmingly, that the platform can be blamed for about 43% of declining ratings in 2015. For anyone who's fallen into a weekend of binge-viewing House of Cards, the rise of the Netflix model has been great news, but the darker side of this rapid market shift is perhaps best illustrated by the curious case of Australia's Network 10.
This is 10 Eyewitness News with Sandra Sully.
Our most successful yet, the Clean Up Australia Day.
The nation's third commercial television broadcaster has long trailed its more established rivals, 7 and 9, in the ratings. After being rescued from near extinction in the early 1990s, 10 rose to become Australia's most profitable network in the early 2000s by focusing almost entirely on the 16 to 39-year-old demographic. But as early as 2004, one of its investors was so rattled by what he saw happening online that he sold out of the company completely. Brands like Levi's, Coca-Cola, and Pepsi were the lifeblood of 10's youthful charm and key to keeping its original series alive, like the popular soap opera Neighbours. Then MySpace happened, then Facebook, then Instagram. The 10 Network's audience share was eaten away by a ferociously hungry new online world. By 2011, few were left watching as the network embarked on an enormously ambitious reinvention project. The old youthful brand was shifted to sister channel 11, taking Neighbours with it, and 10 launched itself as the home of news, devoting about 90 minutes of prime time five nights a week.
Is 6 p.m. with George Negus.
G'day, welcome to the very first 6 p.m. Well, I've seen the billboards and whatever else, they're certainly big.
It didn't work. By 2012, losses had reached nearly $13 million. The so-called news revolution had failed and, perhaps worse, the network was left without an identity. What's striking about the failure of 10's news programming is that it shows the format can no longer be relied upon as the catch-all audience magnet that it might have once been. News, like the rest of a broadcaster's output, must be targeted. But how can a news bulletin keep its journalistic ethics in place while also remaining an attractive product for advertisers and a time slot worth designing the evening routine around? One strategy favoured by Britain's ITN production house is to expand the focus beyond traditional evening bulletins. ITN produces nightly news for ITV, Channel 4 and Channel 5, but CEO John Hardy told Marketing Week that series such as The Young Vets on BBC Two, investigative series Dispatches on Channel 4, and the panel show The Agenda on ITV all play a role in keeping the business in a healthy place while strengthening each network's overall brand.
Having grown from being a news business, our DNA is high impact, authentic storytelling, and everything we do comes from that DNA. Despite the economic pressures that might be coming this year, the opportunities are there and it's up to us to capitalise on them.
Since adopting this approach, ITN has jumped out of the loss-making black hole of 2009 into 7 consecutive years of growing profits. The battle of appointment viewing versus the Netflix model is still very young, and so far, news hasn't even taken a step into the arena. Speaking at the Sundance Film Festival, director David Fincher put it this way.
The world of 7:30 on Tuesday night, that's dead. A stake has been driven through its heart, its head has been cut off, and its mouth has been stuffed with garlic. The captive audience is gone. If you give people this opportunity to mainline all in one day, there's reason to believe they will do it.
One of the driving forces behind House of Cards, Fincher is preparing to launch his own new original series on the platform soon. But that assertion that linear TV is dead isn't quite true. It's more of a case of curious evolution. Television is still an overwhelmingly popular delivery method for information, especially news. And while it's certainly true that fewer people are tuning into the 6 o'clock news, more and more people are watching content on demand. That doesn't mean the world has suddenly traded in all its old evening rituals for an endless scroll of funniest cat videos. They're still consuming broadcasters' content, just in increasingly new and different ways. The evening news is part of that change, and it's perhaps stuck in a bit of a game of catch-up. But it isn't dead just yet.
It's alive. It's alive.